Morant with a running start. Elevate. Ooh. Oh, it dunks. Ooh. Oh, my goodness. Ooh. Tie game in overtime. Gasol will turn his heat. It's good. Memphis on top. 17.
Hollinawa three. Count it.
A 15-point play for Memphis. And Blake Griffin gets into it on the floor with Randolph. Hard to tell if there are any punches being thrown under there, but Griffin took exception to something. The officials break it up quickly.
Griffin. See, he just locked his arm and then kind of pulled him over. Zach falls down, and then, you know what? A little elbow there.
Oh, he's digging the elbow.
Griffin. Yeah, you know.
Welcome to Grits and Grinds, a Memphis Grizzlies podcast. My name is Keith Parrish. Happy draft week to everybody. I love draft week. I love draft night because there are always deals. There are trades 100% of the time on NBA draft night. And it sounds like the Grizzlies could be involved in one. We'll get to that in a minute. On today's episode, I'm going to talk about this reported trade that has gained traction. I'm also going to get into the media availability that some of the draft prospects had on Friday. It was interesting because several of the guys who might be in the Grizzlies draft range, who are projected to go anywhere from 15 to 25, several of the guys had media availability on Friday and said that they had had no contact with the Grizzlies. They had not worked out with them or interviewed with them. And so that probably means you can cross them off from the Grizzlies draft board. It's not a total guarantee that just because you don't work out somebody or don't interview someone that you absolutely will not pick them. But I guess it would be a little bit unusual. But on Friday, Jalen Johnson, who initially was kind of a earlier lottery pick and seems to be sliding in a lot of mock drafts, he said he hadn't spoken to the Grizzlies at all. And then big men Isaiah Jackson and Kai Jones both said that they had had no contact with the Grizzlies. And that might demonstrate right there that the Grizzlies indeed are focused in on getting a wing. They are not considering some of these versatile bigs that most draft experts project would be reasonable picks around pick 17. Of course, maybe the Grizzlies aren't picking around pick 17. Perhaps they are, in fact, going to trade up higher. There was a report on Sunday morning by Jake Fisher that said that some traction had been gained between the Pelicans and the Grizzlies involving a swap for the 10th and 17th pick, where the Grizzlies would take back Eric Bledsoe. If that sounds familiar to you, that's because that's a trade I literally proposed on this show a few weeks ago. That report that was from Bleacher Report ended up being backed up by Shams Charania a little bit later in the day, and then virtually everyone was echoing it. All kinds of NBA newsbreakers were saying, yes, there has been talks among the Pelicans who are trying to unload the Eric Bledsoe contract, and the Grizzlies have been trying to get up in the top of the draft. I mean, just last episode, I said I'd heard that they had been calling, they'd called a team late in the lottery about trying to move up. That team was the Pelicans. So like everyone, it seems, has heard. This is a very poorly kept secret if it was meant to be a secret. So there's a lot of angles to consider. One angle to consider is everyone's heard about this. So is it a smokescreen? Is it New Orleans announcing, hey, we're trying to move this. Can someone come up with a better offer? Maybe they're trying to shake free more suitors for some of the pieces involved. Maybe the Grizzlies would like to relocate Eric Bledsoe. But there's a few things to remember, I think, for this rumored deal. The motivation behind it for the Pelicans is they want to shed salary. There are reports that they're very interested in trying to acquire or to sign Kyle Lowry. They have no chance of signing Kyle Lowry. They literally don't have cap space with their current roster. They would need to move several pieces. They would need to move Eric Bledsoe and not get salary back. They would need to move Steven Adams. They would probably be unable to re-sign Josh Hart and Lonzo Ball. I don't know if they'd want to do all those things, but perhaps they would. And that seems to be the motivation behind this. At least try to free up enough money where you can make a competitive offer. An offer that Kyle Lowry would be interested in accepting. So the Pelicans don't want Justice Winslow back. They don't want that salary back. What this would probably mean, if executed, it would mean that the Grizzlies declined Justice Winslow's salary and thus created enough cap space to absorb all of Eric Bledsoe's contracts. So that would be one way this deal could get done, which makes the most sense to me, would be the Pelicans trade the 10th pick and Eric Bledsoe just for the 17th pick. The Grizzlies would not have to send any player back in this deal. Of course, you know about the Grizzlies roster crunch and the glut of shooting guards, and the Grizzlies have a very good backup point guard. Eric Bledsoe's like a backup point guard, but he's also kind of a combo guard. He can play off the ball. I'll get more into his abilities in just a second. But one likely way this deal could be completed is just with only Eric Bledsoe, the only player involved. Certainly the Grizzlies could throw in Grayson Allen. Maybe the Pelicans would request Grayson Allen. Maybe if the Pelicans are going to move on from Lonzo Ball, they would be interested in Tyus Jones coming over. And then you get maybe like a Tyus Jones in 17 for Eric Bledsoe and 10. I don't know if it's that valuable for the Grizzlies to sacrifice Tyus Jones, if they would feel like having Eric Bledsoe be your backup point is a better option, or if it could be done by committee. I'm going to come back to that as well. It's important for Grizzlies fans, when we're thinking about this theoretical trade, to understand, though, that Eric Bledsoe's contract is big for next season. It's over $18 million. But the following season, it is not big at all. It is partially guaranteed only for $3.9 million. One of the reasons I think it's strange for the Pelicans desperately trying to unload the contract is the fact that it's just partially guaranteed in 2022-23, and so it's not that big of a deal. I understand right now, this moment, they seem to be desperately trying to add Kyle Lowry or try to clear some cap space. If they don't get Kyle Lowry, I think this is kind of a bad deal for them. I don't know why you would move back seven spots in the draft to get rid of a player who is in your rotation. Maybe he's a bad locker room guy, which is certainly possible. But if they don't do lots of other things, as in move Steven Adams' salary and also decline the options on either Josh Hart or Lonzo Ball, trading away Eric Bledsoe doesn't really free up any cap space for them to do much of anything. So that's why it's kind of a weird trade, unless they do other deals as well. From the Grizzlies' perspective, it's pretty simple. You have cap space, or you could create cap space, and you say, all right, we're not going to use that cap space to sign any additional player. We're not going to make a run at, I don't know, Josh Hart or Lonzo Ball. We're not going to make a run at my guy, Evan Fournier, who scored 28 points against the USA in the Olympics as France defeated the US early Sunday morning. You say, we're going to use our salary cap space to accept this contract and use it to purchase moving up seven spots in the draft. That would be the MO of this front office. We've already seen this several times. The question for the Grizzlies is it worth it? Is that the right price? In a vacuum, getting a team off of $20 million worth of salary and freeing them up to maybe sign someone they really want, the price might be more than just moving up seven spots. I'd say the price is definitely more. But this is not a vacuum. This is a very specific, literal, real moment that's occurring this week. It is, if your roster's full, and the Grizzlies roster is essentially full, and you say, we're not planning to sign anyone in free agency, then essentially you're asking the owner to pay $17 million more. Doesn't affect the fans at all. Doesn't affect the team's competitiveness. You're saying, let's spend this $17 million that we can under the cap. and move up 7 spots and go get the guy we absolutely want in the draft. Who is that guy? I have no idea. Is it Moses Moody? A lot of fans want it to be Moses Moody. Moses Moody has interviewed and worked out with the Grizzlies, unlike Kai Jones or Jalen Johnson. Would this deal be contingent on Moses Moody or whoever the Grizzlies target is being available when it's time to pick at 10? Part of me thinks if this deal occurs, if an Eric Bledsoe to the Grizzlies deal occurs, whether it includes Grizzlies players going to the Pelicans or if it's just no players are involved on the Grizzlies side, I would say the odds that Eric Bledsoe actually plays a minute as a Grizzly, not super big. I wouldn't even expect it. If you're not sending away Tyus Jones or Grayson Allen or D'Anthony Melton or Desmond Bane, bringing in Eric Bledsoe to add to that rotation of guards that can kind of all play the two or backup point, I don't think it's incredibly helpful. And who else are you getting rid of? You have to get rid of someone later. Maybe you give up on Killian Tilly. I could imagine a scenario where the Grizzlies eat his entire salary. They trade for him, and then they immediately waive him. So they'd owe him, you know, $18 million this season, and they'd owe him $4 million next season. In a vacuum, you'd say, spending $22 million to move up 7 spots, it's not worth it. But again, it isn't really a vacuum. If you determine there's no opportunity cost this season, I mean, maybe another trade could come along where someone wants to unload salary and give you something better as far as a young prospect or a future asset like a draft pick. So that might be the opportunity cost. The opportunity cost of $4 million against the salary cap the following offseason, okay, like that's the opportunity cost, is the $4 million next year. The actual money, I think, is a little bit meaningless. If that's so confusing to you, I'll try to explain it briefly. We've already talked about how we have 12 guys under roster. 12 guys on the roster plus whoever they theoretically, let's say they pick someone at 10, that's player number 13. If player number 14 is Killian Tilly, and then player number 15 could be, I don't know, the 51st pick. If you add one more rookie, that's your full squad. So if your roster is totally full and you as an organization have decided we're not signing anyone, we're not signing a free agent, let's go ahead and trade for Eric Bledsoe and waive him and we'll just pay off a salary. They've done this multiple times in the last few years as far as pay someone to not be on the team. Like Dion Waiters, they paid Dion Waiters his full salary. It's part of the Justice Winslow deal. They're like, that's the cost. We're sending out Andre Iguodala, Jay Crowder, Solomon Hill. We're getting back all this salary. Dion Waiters is one of the pieces of salary that came back. There's like, you know, that's good. Let's waive him. They paid Mario Hezonja to get Desmond Bane. Mario Hezonja's salary came from Portland, and that was the price of taking his salary was the price that Grizzlies paid to get the Desmond Bane pick. That Desmond Bane pick worked out great for him. Before that, they waived Dwight Howard. If you remember, Dwight Howard was traded and he had like a $5.6 million contract. They're like, well, we're good. We don't want you to show up here. We like our team. Before that, they paid Miles Plumlee $12.5 million 1 year. He never showed up. The Grizzlies don't mind using these salaries and paying the guys who aren't even going to show up to your team to get the things they want. I mean, obviously, Andre Iguodala. I mean, that's how it even starts. They didn't eat Andre Iguodala's salary because they ended up using it later to trade for Justice Winslow, and they were paid, you know, to take on this salary. And so that's what we're talking about right now. Is it worth it to use up your salary cap space this year to move up 7 spots, to move up from 17 to 10? I think with the conditions I've laid out, with the conditions of we're not going to spend this cap space on anyone else, we know that as an organization, we've decided that. We've vetted the players who might be available. We found out Norm Powell is never signing here or whatever. We found out that none of our targets are that interested in us. and we really like someone in the draft. And now I can't tell you who that player would be. I've been very upfront and honest with you guys that I'm not a draft expert. I listen to what people say. Brian Schroeder, who came on a couple weeks ago, he says if you can get Moses Moody for the price of Eric Bledsoe's salary, absolutely. Pay Eric Bledsoe's salary. Take a swing. Go get Moses Moody to add to your young core. It's a great fit. Like, is Franz Wagner one of those guys? Would you run to the podium for Franz Wagner? Maybe. Seems like a really good fit on the wing. I don't know enough about draft prospects to have a strong opinion on whether or not this is the right move. I do think it makes sense, though. And I'm not bothered by, like, oh, you're helping the Pelicans out. That has no bearing on my thought process. I'm worried about the Grizzlies. I don't think the Pelicans can get their act in order. If they want to give me a player who was in their rotation, who started 70 games for them last year, who played 30 minutes a game, and they're like, we'll pay you to take this guy's salary. We'll let you have our pick, and we'll slide back seven spots. I'm like, fine. It just seems weird. I mean, I'm certainly not convinced right now that if the Pelicans trade out Lonzo Ball and Steven Adams for Kyle Lowry, that they're definitely a playoff team. I mean, Kyle Lowry, Brandon Ingram, and Zion Williamson, that sounds awesome. But essentially, we've had the Pelicans going into each of the last two seasons, and we're like, that sounds pretty good. And then it wasn't good. So I'm not worried about the Pelicans. I'm worried about my team. And this is all about that 10th pick, if you can get the 10th pick. Now, let's imagine a scenario that Eric Bledsoe would stay on the Grizzlies, which I think is an interesting thing to consider. Now, first and foremost, we should make clear, this is not the Eric Bledsoe you saw on Mother's Day in 2012 in Game 7 Grizzlies Clippers, totally harassing the Grizzlies guards. This Eric Bledsoe looked like he fell off a cliff last season. He was not good at all last season. Pelicans fans want to get rid of Eric Bledsoe. That is normally the sign as fans that we can use to figure out whether or not we should be super excited about getting a player. Bledsoe was miserable on the Pelicans. His defense has really tailed off. And his offense, it just wasn't there. He wasn't very involved, I guess, on the Pelicans' offense. Didn't blend in very well. His shooting, I mean, he's a willing three-point shooter, but he's just a middling 34% three-point shooter. And he's been there for many, many years. When he was on the Bucks, you know, he's like, oh, he's kind of a third star. He had a better field goal percentage. That dropped way down last season. He was 42% from the field last year, under 50% on his two-pointers. He looks like a guy with no tread left on the tire. Now, I'm not going to totally discount, basically based off Nicholas Batum last year, I'm not going to totally discount that he couldn't be rejuvenated in a new situation. We've seen players all of a sudden perk back up again. But next season will be his 12th year in the league. It'll be his age 32 season, and he looks to have definitely lost a step. So he's not like this great player that you're excited about getting again. I do think he's a rotation-level guy. And he's likely better than some of the guys the Grizzlies are playing right now in the rotation. I don't know if that's a certainty, because again, I'm pretty scarred by what I saw from Eric Bledsoe last year. But theoretically, if this trade happened and the Grizzlies decided to keep Eric Bledsoe, one interesting part of it is he can play alongside Ja Morant. It's not ideal. It's not perfect because of the shooting limitations of both players. But as a willing three-point shooter who makes roughly league average, you know, 34% or so, and as an okay defender, and as a guy who's been in the league a long time, knows all the guard tricks, and he's a good penetrator, he can attack. He didn't get fouled like he used to. He wasn't drawing fouls as much last season. But I think he can provide a tiny bit of offense. And unlike Tyus Jones, he can play alongside Ja Morant if you ever need that. We, of course, know the Grizzlies have tons of shooting guards, and you might not ever need that. But if Eric Bledsoe were to stay on the Grizzlies, one thing it could do is free you up to trade Tyus Jones if Tyus Jones has value to someone else. Personally, I am not convinced that Eric Bledsoe would run a second unit better than Tyus Jones would. Tyus Jones is a great backup point guard, but he's on an expiring deal. If another team would give you some kind of asset for Tyus Jones, though, would you consider, all right, if Tyus Jones is only playing 14 minutes a night in the regular season and even less in the postseason, why don't we just split those backup point guard minutes between Eric Bledsoe, D'Anthony Melton, and maybe a little bit of Kyle Anderson? We'll be totally fine. We can trade Tyus Jones. So that's just another consideration. It's a domino that could fall if you decide you would keep an Eric Bledsoe. And maybe you'd see how he played. Maybe he would like the new situation. I mean, Bledsoe, he's from Birmingham, Alabama. He played at Kentucky. Maybe he would like the South. Maybe he'd like being in Memphis. Maybe that would give him that rejuvenation. And we see a Nick Batum-style revival of his career. Maybe he'd be good in the locker room. Maybe he's a veteran voice that could really help the team out. He obviously has a little bit of baggage from being in a situation in Phoenix. His infamous "I don't want to be here" tweet when he got off the Suns. I'm sure he wasn't happy to be traded from the Bucks. I assume he's not maybe the happiest that the guy who replaced him, Drew Holiday, ended up delivering the title to the Bucks. And he's well known. I mean, if you don't know, Eric Bledsoe is known for his playoff failures. That's one of the reasons the Bucks decided they had to trade all those picks and pick swaps to the Pelicans to get Drew Holiday. I would say him as a backup on this team is intriguing. But my official guess would be, if this deal happens, he enters the realm of the Kyle Korvers, guys the Grizzlies traded for who never once stepped foot in the practice facility. Another interesting thing to consider about all of this, this rumor that was seemingly leaked to every media member. If the Grizzlies could get their hands on the 10th pick, if they could swap their cap space for the 10th pick, well then, what would it take to move from the 10th pick to, say, the 7th pick? Is there anything the Grizzlies could tempt the Warriors with? The Warriors who want to compete right now. The Grizzlies want to compete right now, but also in 3 years and in 5 years. They're not as pressed for success as the Warriors are. So if a deal goes down, it opens up a lot of other doors. Dominoes fall. I think it's interesting. I understand the argument that maybe it's not worth it, but I do think it would be a good deal for the Grizzlies. Because in previous episodes I've spelled out, I don't think they're going to do anything in free agency. So if you're not going to do anything in free agency, the only risk you're taking is maybe a better deal comes along later where someone is desperate to unload salary. Another way to think about it is, would you rather bring back Justice Winslow or move up 7 spots in the draft? Like, that's a pretty one-for-one comparison, honestly. Justice Winslow makes $13 million on his player option if it's picked up, or his team option if it's picked up. If you choose to waive him and then take in $5 million more of salary in Eric Bledsoe, if you waive Eric Bledsoe, you've just purchased moving up 7 spots. It's interesting. Who knows? Maybe nothing will happen. But anyway, I'll be doing a green room on Tuesday at 3 p.m. Central with Sean Coleman from Locked On Grizzlies. I don't know if you've used the Green Room app before on there. My username is Fast Break Break, or you can search Keith Parrish. I think that should take you there. We'll be talking about the Grizzlies in free agency and the draft. So feel free to check that out. Might release it as a podcast, but just an exciting week. I will be podcasting as news breaks for the Grizzlies, and then Thursday night, obviously, the NBA draft. Maybe some fireworks go down, and we find out a little bit more about what the Grizzlies are going to look like. And then, again, the avalanche of events keeps coming. NBA Summer League starts a week from Tuesday. We are about 8 days from a Grizzlies game. How exciting. Anyways, hope you guys are having a good Monday. Talk to you soon. Go Grizz.